Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I have titled today's program In the News, and it has allowed me to clean out a small pile of actual newspaper clippings that I had accumulated. I've added a few more virtual clippings from online newspapers to bring you information about circadian rhythm, high-tech glasses, a very happy hockey fan, Braille greeting cards, and if I have time, you will hear about a horse. I'll start with the article about circadian rhythm. Now, this article does not directly pertain to the disorder that affects people who are blind, and that's called non-24 sleep-wake disorder. But by sharing this information with you, I'm hoping that you might gain some insight into how the body and the brain work together to regulate sleep, and therefore you might be able to use the information if you are affected by the non-24 disorder. So the first article came from the Democrat and Chronicle in Rochester. It was published in February of this year. It's from the Healthy Life section. The headline reads, How to Reset Your Body Clock to Rest. Subheadline is, Grab Some Camping Gears and Hit the Woods. This actually originally came from the Los Angeles Times, they say. Opens with a question. Are you sick of going to bed late and waking up tired? Then grab your hiking boots and a tent. A new study suggests that a couple days of camping in the great outdoors can reset your circadian clock and help you get more sleep. The circadian clock is an internal clock that tells your body when it's time to go to sleep and when it's time to wake up. Scientists track this clock by measuring the amount of melatonin circulating in a person's blood at any given time. In a healthy sleeper, melatonin levels rise a few hours before bedtime. They stay high through the night and then settle back down to daytime levels when it's time to wake up. The span of time when melatonin levels are elevated is known as your biological night. And I'll repeat that definition again. The biological night is the span of time when the melatonin levels are elevated. In our modern society, biological night does not usually coincide with night in the natural world. Most of us stay up many hours past sunset and would probably sleep in many hours after sunrise if we could. The trouble is, if your biological night begins at midnight or later, your melatonin levels may still be high when your alarm clock goes off in the morning. This leads to grogginess. But it may have other health consequences as well, researchers say. Diabetes, obesity, and heart disease all have been associated with people who are not getting enough sleep. Previous research by integrative physiology professor Kenneth Wright of the University of Colorado at Boulder found that people can reset their circadian clocks by taking a 6-day summer camping trip in the Rocky Mountains. That study, published in 2013, showed that by the end of the trip, the campers' bodies started to release melatonin around sunset and stopped releasing it around sunrise, an average of 2 hours earlier than when they were tested at home. Additionally, during the camping trip, the study participants did not get up for an extra hour after their bodies stopped releasing melatonin, making it easier for them to wake up in the morning. A quote, That original study answered a lot of questions, but it raised more questions, Wright said. In the new work, published Thursday in Current Biology's, in the journal Current Biology, Wright's team set out to determine if our circadian clocks can be reset using a shorter jaunt into nature, and if these biological clocks respond to seasonal influences. To answer the first question, the researchers recruited 14 physically active volunteers in their 20s and 30s. 9 of them went on a weekend camping trip, while the other 5 stayed home. At the end of the weekend, the authors monitored the volunteers' melatonin levels to see if there had been any shift in the timing of their biological night. The researchers report that in just 2 days of camping, the circadian clocks shifted so that their melatonin levels began to rise more than an hour earlier than they did in the days before they left on the trip. Overall, the difference was equivalent to 69% of the effect that the researchers observed when the campers went on that 6-day trip back in 2013. Wright said, "This tells us we can reset our clocks fast." The authors also found that the circadian clocks of the group that stayed home shifted even later over the course of the weekend. A quote, "Those people stayed up later and slept in more, like lots of us do on the weekend, and that pushed their clocks later too," he said. In another experiment, the authors sent 5 brave volunteers on a 6-day winter camping trip to determine whether the human circadian clock is affected by seasonal changes in the length of the day. When the campers returned home, the authors found that the winter camping group's biological night was longer than that of the group that went camping for a week in the summer back in 2013. "That finding shows we are similar to other animals," Wright said. "Indeed, many animals adjust their circadian clocks in the winter so they can spend more time sleeping as the nights grow longer." Wright explains that changes in the circadian clock trigger other changes as well, for example, causing some mammals to put on weight or change the color of their fur. Wright said the new work suggests we may be more susceptible to changes in the seasons than most of us realize. A quote, "I'd love to see someone do an experiment where they take people who have winter depression and have them increase their time outdoors for a weekend," he said. Wright thinks there are 2 reasons a sojourn in nature can reset our biological clocks, and both reasons have to do with light. His group found that on the winter camping trip, participants were exposed to 13 times more light than they usually are when they go about their normal lives. In addition, the winter campers were not allowed to use flashlights or electronic devices during their week-long camping trip. That meant that when darkness fell, the only light they saw was from their campfires. He said that both the increased light during the day and the lack of light during the night played a role in realigning the circadian clocks. A quote, "A lot of people think about light at night and recognize it is not the best thing, but our research has shown that the reduction in light we get during the day is equally important," he said. Therefore, if you want to change your sleep patterns, but sleeping in tents is not your thing, you might start by trying to increase your exposure to natural light during the day and decrease the amount of electric light you see at night. And if that doesn't work, there's always camping. The next article is titled, came from USA Today, and it was published in Rochester Democrat and Chronicle in February of this year. The headline reads, "High-tech glasses help blind people see." The subheadline reads, "Video reveals color and details, even facial expressions." This was written by Jennifer Jolly as a special article for USA Today. Blindness first crept up upon Yvonne Felix when she was just 7 years old. That's when she was hit by a car that she never saw coming. A quote, "I was diagnosed with juvenile macular degeneration," says the now 36-year-old mother of 2 who was legally blind. And she continues, "By the time I was 13, I lost whatever sight I had centrally. By my late teens and early 20s, I was using a cane and braille. It was very lonely and isolating." Now, the product that we're talking about is called eSight 3, and that's spelled E with a small e, and then a capital S, and then a small S-I-G-H-T, eSight 3, a visor-like headset that uses a high-speed, high-definition camera. This product has changed the way the world looks for Yvonne Felix. Where she once saw blurry shadows, she now sees details, like the expression on a person's face. She says, "I can see everything, your eyes, and that you're smiling, the pattern on your blouse," Felix describes as she demonstrates the new eSight 3 glasses in our offices in Oakland last week. Without the device, Felix, who now acts as a spokeswoman for the company, said looking at me sitting across from her was like seeing a blurry dark shadow with no features or facial expressions. She said it's like there's a drawing and you smudged your hands all over the pastels, like it's just dark and all blurred together. Well, the headset looks like a cross between a pair of everyday sunglasses and a set of virtual reality goggles. They are big, but not obnoxiously huge, and they fit over the wearer's prescription glasses via a pair of elastic magnetic bands. On the front is a 1080p camera that grabs a live video feed of everything in sight. It pipes it down to a processing unit that tucks into a pocket or a purse, and then it sends it back up to a pair of OLED screens. The person wearing the headset sees full-color video images clearly, with no lag time, and can zoom in. He or she also can capture photos and video with the device. Felix is one of some 300 million people around the globe living with low or no ability to see. According to the American Academy of Ophthalmology, 1.2 million Americans older than the age of 40 are legally blind, and nearly 3 million have low vision or visual acuity worse than 20 over 40. The Canadian company behind the headset is trying to change that. A quote, "What's really unique about this device," eSight CEO Brian Meck explains, "is that it lets Yvonne instantly autofocus between short-range vision like reading a book or texting on a smartphone to mid-range vision like seeing faces or watching TV, all the way to long-range vision such as looking down a hallway or outside a window." This is instant focus, by the way, but instantly autofocus. Each person who uses eSight 3 can control color, contrast, focus, brightness, and magnification. It goes up to 24 times, 24x. A quote, "It's worked for 70% of the people who've tried it on and allowed people with traumatic eye injury, some forms of glaucoma, and more than a dozen other conditions to see instantly." Felix and about 1,000 other legally blind people in the U.S. and Canada have used earlier versions of the eSight electronic glasses since they first came out in 2012. A quick YouTube search provides dozens of videos of people as young as 4 and as old as 97 using eSight to see clearly for the first time, including Felix. So, quote, "It was beautiful. It's the type of thing that just burns into your mind. I remember seeing my husband smiling and holding our infant son. I could see my husband hadn't shaved and he had a beard. But seeing him smile was what, and also seeing my son's face, this was what I had never experienced before." The eSight headset costs $9,995, which is down from the $15,000 original cost. Insurance companies don't cover it. But Meck said the company often finds a way to get the glasses into the hands of the people who need them through fundraisers, grants, and what he says is the creativity of the human spirit. For that, Felix says she is forever grateful. She says being able to see is a place of being free. It's truly freedom. If you want more information, you can contact them online. The website is eSight Eyewear, eSightEyewear.com. They're in Toronto. They have an 800 phone number, 855-837-4448. Now, more details about that product in the next article. This is about the hockey fan that I told you about. This one's titled, "Legally Blind Hockey Fan Sees Game for First Time." And a quote, "It was all so amazing." The article was written by Kellen Sung, published March 7th in the Washington Post. A picture, leading off the article, shows young Olivia Letich sitting in between Calgary Flames hockey players Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. She was there in the locker room, sporting a bright red Flames jersey as the team's special guest. The picture was provided by the Calgary Flames. And now the article. Olivia Letich couldn't stop giggling whenever someone in her family brought up the Calgary Flames. The 11-year-old Letich would light up with excitement at the mention of her favorite hockey team. 5 years had passed since Letich visited Scotiabank Saddledome for a Flames game, jumping and cheering at every blast of the horn along with the rest of the red-clad fans. But Sunday's game against the New York Islanders provided something different. This time, Letich, who is legally blind, saw her favorite players and watched the action unfold in front of her as the Flames' special guest after eSight, a company that sells hands-free devices that allow legally blind individuals to see, eSight reached out to the Calgary Flames Foundation in December and set up the event. It was a packed day for Letich, who sang along to the Canadian National Anthem on center ice, observed the players warm up from the players' bench, watched the game with her family from seats 19 rows behind the net, and met Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and Mark Giordano in the locker room after Calgary's 5-2 victory over the Islanders, all while wearing her eSight glasses that helped improve her vision from 20 over 400 to 20 over 40. These glasses she did not have at her last Flames game. She says, "I was able to see all the colors, all the shots, all the names on the jerseys, all the blocks, and how fast they were moving," Letich said in a phone interview Monday. "It was all so amazing." When Letich was 4 months old, she had a bilateral retinoblastoma. This is a rare pediatric eye cancer. She would go through 9 rounds of chemotherapy at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore and 50 radiation treatments before doctors finally removed her right eye to prevent the tumors from spreading. Letich's cancer is in remission, but she is legally blind in her left eye. She has worn eSight glasses, which uses a high-definition camera technology, for the past 18 months in school, at movie theaters, sporting events, and concerts. But she does not wear them throughout the day. All that, however, hasn't stopped the energetic preteen from swimming, equestrian jumping, and skiing. In addition to her love of hockey, Letich is a big Baltimore Ravens fan. She rarely misses watching the Ravens on Sundays and the Flames whenever the family is home. A quote from her mother, "We watch the Flames at home as much as we can," said Letich's mother, Meredith. "We have an ottoman, and she sits right on it within a foot of the TV." Several months ago, Meredith received what she called a very cryptic phone call. This is her mother that got the call. The call came from eSight, asking questions about Letich's favorite hockey players. Once she found out the plan that was initiated by eSight and put together by the Calgary Flames Foundation, Meredith, the mom, kept as much of it as a surprise for her daughter. It wasn't until last Thursday that Letich found out that she was going to the game, and she didn't know until the day of that she would actually meet the players. The mom says, "They were all so amazing, not just to Olivia, but to all four of our kids. They fawned all over the kids and made them feel so special. I can't say enough about their experience." As for Olivia Letich, she left with a story of a lifetime and the ability to recall not just the raucous atmosphere of a Flames game that she experienced years ago, but also the incredible athleticism of professional hockey players that she was able to see for herself. A quote, "It was so much more exciting," she said. "I didn't have to ask anyone what was going on, and I could physically see it with my own eyes. It was so much more fun because you could see the amazing blocks, and you could see painful-looking smashing into the boards. I hope to go again soon." Lucky girl, I'd say. Next, we move on to an article from the Beloit, Illinois Daily News. The headline is, A Craft with Vision. A woman inspired by her nephew to make cards for people who are blind. This was released on January 2nd of this year. It was written by Erica Pennington. The dateline is Beloit, Illinois. You look at a calendar and a panic quickly sets in. You've forgotten a very important birthday. What do you do? For the most part, the answer is a quick trip to the store to buy a gift and a greeting card, of course. But what if the birthday person is blind? Would you get them a card at all? Could you even find one in Braille? Well, the answer to both of those questions is probably no. This is according to Beloit resident Kim Caswell. And she continues, and that's by saying, and that's why she got crafty. I worked at Hallmark, and we had 3 Braille card designs, and they only stocked them for a year, she said. The aunt of a legally blind man, Michael, who's now 42 years old, Kim Caswell always wanted to be able to send him special messages. She said, a lot of time blind people don't get cards at all, she said. I always thought to myself, he deserves them too. So 8 years ago, Caswell decided that rather than wait for companies to catch on to the need, she would do it herself. After buying a book on Braille, Caswell studied. The learning process has been tedious, but she has become quite savvy with Braille, and she is able to translate text. She says Braille is set up in a 6-dot cell, and you learn all of the different patterns and the contractions, Caswell said. It's really complicated. I really don't know how people can read it. To create a Braille card, Caswell usually starts out with a store-bought greeting card that has a concise message. Every card needs to be big enough to fit the Braille lines in, which are long, and they don't have too much textured paper. Caswell said, you have to think like a blind person and watch those textures so that they don't get lost while reading. Once a card is selected, she writes out the message on a special sheet and does a diagram of how the Braille should be. The most difficult task is the Braille sentence must be written from right to left with the words written backwards. She explains, that way when you use the stylus to press the dots, the bumps are on the right side of the card for the person to be able to read it, Caswell said. Caswell also sometimes includes Braille descriptions of the picture on the card so the visually impaired person can imagine it. I really enjoy doing end signature lines on cards, too, in Braille, because the way you sign can be so special, she said. Caswell has a wide variety of cards for holidays, birthdays, and other occasions already translated into Braille and ready for pickup. This is, by the way, in Beloit, Illinois. However, you might want to contact her. And she said that later, if someone wants to bring a card, she is also more than happy to translate it, if the message allows. She says, usually my cards cost around $2, but if it takes a really long time to do it, it might be a little more. The process, which is very time-consuming, isn't about making money for Caswell. She just wants to give back. She says, I'll be doing this as long as my hands let me, because maybe it will really make someone happy, she said. For more information on Braille cards, Caswell can be reached by emailing her. Her address is kimsnewmail, KIMSNEWMAIL, at AOL.com. Caswell hopes to purchase a Braille typewriter with the small profit she makes from her translations. And now, guess what? We do have time for you to hear about the horse. This article came from Woman's Day magazine in May of, way back in 2012. This clipping is really sort of yellowed, but it's good information. The headline reads, Small Wonder. Instead of choosing a guide dog, a blind woman puts her trust in a surprising choice, and it has transformed her life. This was written by Melody Warnick. When Renata DiPietro walks into a store near her home in Cleveland, Georgia, jaws drop, cameras click, and strangers want to talk. She says, it's like the paparazzi are after me, she says, laughing. The classically trained singer, who is legally blind, is used to an audience, but these days the main attraction is her miniature guide horse, Angel. Just 28 inches tall and not much bigger than a Great Dane, Angel has been trained like a seeing-eye dog to help Renata navigate her way around town. This article is accompanied by a picture of Renata nuzzling her horse's head. The horse is pure white with a turquoise bridle, or what do you call that thing that goes around their face? You know what I mean? The harness? I don't know. It's bright turquoise. And Renata herself is dressed in a pale turquoise outfit. A beautiful picture. The article continues, for years, Renata relied on guide dogs, but ultimately she found it was heartbreaking. A dog's working life is short, just 6 to 10 years before it either ages out of service or dies. It's very painful because you love each other with all your heart, says Renata. The time it took to adjust to a new dog took a toll, too. In 2007, on the hunt for another dog, Renata thought about a friend who had a mini horse as her guide. They are rare. Experts estimate that there are just a dozen or so of them at work in the United States. Renata knew from her friend that mini horses are calm, strong, and typically live for 30 years or more. The first horse she tried proved difficult to work with. Then Renata paid a breeder $3,000 for Angel. Now you should note that many mini horses are available for $1,000 or less. Renata also hired trainers she found through word of mouth to help ready this horse for service. She also paid $350 for a special harness. Oh, that's what it's called. But the rest of Angel's upkeep is pretty manageable. $20 a month for hay and feed, $20 every 6 to 8 weeks for hoof trimming, and vet bills comparable to those of dogs. The one challenge Renata anticipated, her guide horse being denied access, this has not come up. Thanks to the Americans with Disabilities Act, guide horses are generally legally allowed to go anywhere that guide dogs can. A quote, "The first day I took my horse to a store, a police officer ran up to me. I thought, prepare yourself, Renata. But he just said, can I take your picture?" So she says, ends the article by saying about Angel, "She is my own personal war horse. We are fighting a battle for my independence." And once again, this is Small Wonder Story by Melody Warnick from Woman's Day. One thing is pretty certain. You can count on April weather to be uncertain. So here's something for you to think about. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. This thought is from Vivian Green, a visionary artist and author who spreads her messages of greater love and awareness to everyone on the planet. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.